Five Church.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes.
There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We've got another Wednesday night show that's just going to be great, fantastic. If you've listened to the broadcast every once in a while, the host, Jim Hockaday's literally not on the road. He's in the air. He's flying around the world, spends a lot of time in Europe and Western Europe. And this evening, he's in Manchester, England, where actually it isn't evening anymore. They're about 6 hours ahead of us, which means that it's actually the middle of the night because it's about 8 o'clock. Wednesday evening in the United States, in the central part of the U.S., Tulsa, Oklahoma, to be precise. But in Manchester, England, it's actually 2 o'clock Thursday morning. And so he's in a motel room in Manchester, England. He set his alarm to do the show. I call that dedication. We've talked a lot about sin. We've talked a lot about faith. We've talked about how to make your prayers more effective. We've talked about what's the difference between a building and a church, and why you shouldn't have to pay money to have a prayer answered. But tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit. There is a responsibility, a type of spiritual gravity. And Jim, are you still awake?
I am. I'm awake and ready to go.
Well, you know, let's talk about this spiritual gravity. This came up, as most things do, in my house, connected to an indoor equestrian riding arena out on a ranch. And isn't it a shame we don't have microphones in my home when we're talking?
Yeah, there's some really good conversations that are right there.
But let's talk about this spiritual gravity, this spiritual responsibility, because people think, well, they're told, I mean, a lot of people are just innocent victims. They're told literally just buckets of stuff, the kind of stuff that I muck my horse barn out with every day. But they're told a lot of stuff that just doesn't apply. But a lot of people think that if you believe there is a God and you pray, that you're just supposed to get lots of money, get everything free, life is great. But what they don't understand is there is a type of spiritual maturity, a spiritual responsibility, a type of spiritual gravity that keeps you grounded, that you have kind of a, for lack of a better term, you have a responsibility to your spirit and to the message of God. I mean, isn't there scripture that refers to this?
Well, you could almost call it, BJ, a spiritual maintenance. Every one of us have the right and the responsibility, as you've been saying, to maintain our spirit before the Lord, to keep ourselves built up in the Lord. In fact, there are scriptures that say, stir yourself up. Paul said that to Timothy, who was a young man in the ministry, and he said, you need to stir yourself up. Don't be overtaken with fear. So there's a responsibility for each one of us to see God's grace and to apply it to our life. It doesn't just happen. In fact, you know, that's kind of a misnomer by people to think, well, now that I'm saved, everything's just going to be perfect. Well, everything is perfect in Christ. But to apply that, you're going to have to maintain your spiritual awareness of God. And that's a real truth.
It is. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is that why do you find, I mean, maybe it's different for you, but I when I talk to people and some of the conversations I've had, and oh yeah, by the way, just so the new listeners out there is that Jim is the expert. Jim, you were saved at what age?
I was 4 years of age when I was saved.
And let's see, you're, okay, so you've been saved for what, 40 years?
A little bit more than that. I've been saved for 45 years.
Okay, you've been saved for 45 years. Okay, tonight, just because it's funny, a lot of listeners like to know where I am. Tonight is 213 days and 1 hour and 6 minutes that I've been saved, but who's counting?
That's right.
Yeah, 200.
That's
no, I mean, right. I've got it down to the minute. I mean, I'm looking at a clock. 213 days, 1 hour, and coming up on 7 minutes that I've been saved, believing in God. I've had some amazing prayers answered. I've healed some people by laying hands. I mean, you know, it's a miracle. You got to love those miracles. God, I hate that word miracle. You know, there. I do. It's just miracle.
Well, it's how we use it that's so bad.
Well, I mean, there are no miracles. There's nothing supernatural, because if you think that it's a miracle, if you think there's something new supernatural about God, you've literally just said that it's once in a blue moon, it's really odd, and it's really special. You've basically insulted Christ, because he's our Father. We're made in his image. Prayers answered. Things happening. That's natural. That's of the spirit world. The only thing that's unnatural is everything that has to do with this world, otherwise known as the world of flesh. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I mentioned that again, because there's going to be some listeners from England, and for them to hear what you just said is really good.
Well, yeah, hello to everybody in Manchester, England. I believe their pastor is Joel and Evie Toller, and it's the Faith Life Church in Manchester, England. And I got to say this, because the only reason I know about Manchester, England is I am a boxing fanatic. And I know you're not,
okay.
But, well, this goes to the people in Manchester, because there's a boxer in Manchester by the name of Ricky Hatton. And I believe he's like a hometown hero. He's a big deal in Manchester, and he's a boxer. And I've watched him box on satellite many times, and so that's about all I know about Manchester. They got a boxer by the name of Ricky.
Well, good.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see if someone listens. How long are you going to be in Manchester?
I've got another 24 hours here before heading out to
Italy. Well, it'll be interesting if somebody heard say, hey, you're a cowboy. Oh, you know what's going to happen? They're going to ask you if I'm a real cowboy. Well, you know the answer to that. You'll have to say, yeah, I have no idea.
No, you have no idea.
Yeah, there's a reason I only do radio and not television. Trust me, folks. I stay home on the ranch. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the spiritual gravity, the spiritual responsibility that has to do with what I just said. As far as there is no miracle, there is no supernatural, because people think that healing is special, and really it isn't. And it actually goes back to the most original of sins, the most original distraction, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The things that we find ourselves being so enamored over are supposed to be the most natural and regular experiences of our life. And, in fact, one of the greatest hindrances to your spirit experiencing what God has determined from the very beginning to be what is natural to you is the whole idea that something has to be irregular, something has to be special, something has to be supernatural. And, you know, I know that people love those words. In fact, there's no place that I go where they are not used, and the word miraculous is used. But when I begin to talk about some of these things, even in the churches I go to, BJ, it's interesting, because immediately the people get it. It doesn't take long. They realize, yes, the terminology that we use puts all of the things of God off into the future or into a special category for that special person. And the glorious thing about Christ is when he comes to live in our heart, we're all special before God. And everything of the Spirit becomes your normal existence. And I think there's actually an air theory that just explains the grace of God is like breathing air. And this is so natural to everything about our spirit.
I want to take a moment because you said something that we have new listeners every week. Jim mentioned theories. If you go to the Abiding Presence internet radio show website, www.theabidingpresence.com, on the, I guess you'd call it the cursor bar, or the clicker bar, or the black bar with white words is what I call it. You'll see home, about the show, about your host, Jim. Then you'll see two interesting titles. One is Theories, and the other one is For Your Consideration. These are writings that Jim and myself have put together for you. These are theories that we believe have something to do, a colloquial, everyday use of words and language to understand some positions on Christ and for your consideration, or some letters that we think maybe this is something that you might want to consider, a point of view that maybe you agree with or possibly disagree with. You can email us anytime, 24 hours, 7 days a week at The Abiding Presence. You'll see where it says contact us. You can also send us a letter. You can throw anything in the envelope that you want, the longest letter in the world, or anything else that you feel that you would like to. And I just want to talk about these theories, because there's a theory that we talk about all the time that I actually wrote this today, called the click theory. And I say that you're a click away, a distraction, because that's what sin is. People worry about the murders. They worry about the thefts, the lies, the destruction of people, animals, and property. But it's actually the small distractions, those little things that literally take you one click away from your spirit, focusing on Christ's spirit, because they're spirit beings. You have Jesus, you have God, and you have the Holy Spirit. I refer to them as three guys. And it's kind of like your hand. You have your thumb, you have your little finger, and you have your forefinger, your pointer finger. And you could say, well, each finger has certain things. I use a telephone, the way I hold a cup of coffee, the way I maybe use a tool, or scratch my head with, or what I grip with my thumb, like some type of sporting or leisure activity. But yet you'll say, well, how did you do that? And you'll say, I used my thumb. Well, you could say, no, I used my hand. So I refer to Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit as three individuals, as like fingers on a hand that add up to Christ. And,
correct.
Right. And in doing so, this responsibility to your spirit is to understand that you're a spirit being, correct?
Yeah, that's actually the first part of this. When we talk about spiritual gravity, we talk about spiritual responsibility, the first part of it is to recognize how absolute the spirit realm is. And that, BJ, that's a real interesting topic because, again, I've even heard individuals struggle with that in the middle of what we might call a crisis, which really, when your spirit is very in tune with God and there's great clarity, there are no crises.
No.
God's already, through Christ, already made provision for every single spiritual need that's necessary. But the whole idea that God is absolute for some people is really difficult, which,
well,
I don't get, because without his absoluteness, there's no ability for us to walk in the highest level of understanding
or
faith.
I actually have, it's not a theory, but I'm going to say it's a theory, but I don't want to confuse people about the theories that we've written. But I have an idea about why people do not like to listen or like to comprehend that there is an absoluteness about God, because it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago when we started the show. People think that they can be spiritual lazy, that they don't have to do anything. They can just say, yes, I pray. Yes, I believe in God. Where is my manifestations? Where's the grace? Where's the miracles? Where's the supernatural? All this other stuff, the kind of stuff that I use a pitchfork to clean out of my horse barn every morning. And what it is it's laziness. It's not taking that spiritual gravity, that connection, that force that takes your spirit right through all the junk of this world, right to God. They don't want to have it because if they do, then they've got to take responsibility for their actions. It's real easy to grade on a curve because we compromise. We, you know, I've told you this. Think about when people get married and they have a prenuptial agreement.
I
had somebody. Yeah, no, it's not, because you've got a parachute. It's like saying, you know, I'll marry you.
Correct.
I'll take vows and say this is until death do us part. And oh, yeah, by the way, press hard when you sign your name at the bottom. There's three copies, one for you, one for me, and one for the attorney. In case it doesn't work out, we can get a divorce. Well, people expect this. If this doesn't work, take it back to the store. You'll get another one that isn't broke, or you can get your money back. Buy one and get the second one for half off. So why shouldn't you be able to go to heaven and avoid hell? And if it doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, don't worry about it. You got a coupon. You can get in anyways. Yeah. They don't like that absoluteness, because with absoluteness becomes responsibility. With responsibility, you have a dedication that means that you're willing to toe the line and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and there's a certain way I'm supposed to conduct myself, whether it's easy, convenient, or not. Because morals and principles only mean something when it is really, really tough to stand by them, and people don't want to do it. That's my idea.
BJ, that was really good. That was really good.
Well, you know, maybe
everybody will click back to that and listen to that one more time.
Because there's a lot of people.
That's still very important.
There's a lot of people are going to say, you know what, Jim, that cowboy's crazy.
No. That what you just said is so good, and we do that all the time concerning even what we call our faith life. We enter into trusting God with a backup plan, and we expect God to answer our prayer.
You know,
well, just the very sheer fact that you have a backup plan shows you that you're not trusting God for anything. You're simply acknowledging that it's not going to work, and you need something of this world to help you. And if that's what you're acknowledging, which it is, then there's no faith involved. Your spirit's not involved.
We talk about this all the time. You'll have these prayer and faith and healing meetings, and you have a really super huge, wonderful meeting where people are just going to be climbing out of chairs and throwing crutches to the ground. November 3rd, which is a Thursday night, is that right? Thursday night, November 3rd, Bixby, Oklahoma. You're going to have one of your big shindigs at night where there's a lot of people healed, and it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, what's wrong. You just come and bam. But, you know, it's,
there you go.
Yeah, it's real interesting because people, we talk about this. You'll say, BJ, I don't understand. I prayed with this person. I prayed in tongues. And I says, it's not you. I says, people have a responsibility to believe in God. And I'll say, they don't believe in God. When someone says, you know, I'm going to go to a Jim Huckaday meeting and I'm going to have him lay his hands on me and I'm going to be healed. And, oh, yeah, by the way, my back hurts so bad, I better take some pain pills so that I can sit in the church pew and endure the couple hours of a sermon to be healed. Because basically what they've just said is they basically have just slapped God across the face, because they said, you know, just in case a prayer doesn't work, until it does work, until I get there, I better take some pain pills because my back hurts.
Yeah, we've done a real good job, BJ, at watering down the truth of God's word, and that's come over generations. And we've talked about some of that as well on our previous shows, how that some of these click theory. In fact, the click theory is very good. I read that today, in fact, I've got some real good scriptures that'll go along with that. But the click theory really helps to show everybody it doesn't take much to move step by step away from what's so accurate and what's so absolute in God. And we do that all the time concerning the way that we pray. We have ways out, and the way that we have out, the backup plans that we have, do nothing more than step right in the way, hinder our ability to trust and believe God. And people's spirit, the intent of their heart, is not seen when there's backup plans. In fact, I wanted to mention something too, because when we use the word responsibility, spiritual responsibility, that can be a real heavy thought for a lot of people. And when you were talking, it was so right on when I said, hey, that was really good. And some may think, wow, that's pretty heavy. But here's my point I want to make. It's heavy if you want to just have your relationship with God be a bunch of rules. Then it
right.
is heavy.
Yes.
But it's not heavy, BJ, if you have a real relationship.
Well, what they don't...
Think about this, folks. Think about, for those of you that have had relationships with a loved one. Think about, let's just put it together with husbands and wives who had, when they were courting in their relationship. How difficult was it to stay up an extra hour, to spend an extra hour with the person that you love so much? How difficult was it if you stayed up an extra hour to get up even an hour early to go to work and to do extra things around the house so that you could spend extra time? It wasn't difficult. It was a part of your love. There was a passion. There was an excitement there. And the responsibility that we have spiritually, when you tie it into a relationship, it becomes the joy of your life to make sure that your heart and your spirit is fellowshipping with God on a regular basis.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because you can correlate relationships between men and women to their relationship with God as spiritual responsibility, because during the courtship, during the quote-unquote romance time, people will go to great lengths to call in sick to work. They'll fudge, they'll make little distractions and little lies to spend more time with the person that they're romantically and sexually
right.
attracted to. They'll do things like, oh, I'm going to work overtime tonight so that I can get off early tomorrow and take you out to dinner. But once they're married,
right.
they figure they don't have to put that effort into it anymore, and all of a sudden they say, well, I have to work. Well, I remember a couple of years ago when you would work overtime so that you could make this. Well, you don't understand.
You know,
life changes. Well, you know what? Life doesn't change. People
yeah.
change.
People
they
change.
Make decisions.
Yeah,
it goes to the clicks. It goes, how dedicated are you to your relationship with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Well, I have a question for people. How dedicated are you to your relationship with Christ? Do you accept that
right.
you're a spirit being? Do you literally accept that your job, your car, your pet, the house you live in, the clothes on your back, the food in your refrigerator means nothing because it's of this world, and that you're a spirit being
yeah.
that's virtually bound and trapped in a body that does nothing but cause you problems. Because,
yeah.
because you can't hold on to this world and say, please, God, please let me lose 30 pounds so I look really good looking so I can have dates. You know what? That's not a prayer, because you're asking God to do something that only affects this world and doesn't have anything to do with your spirit. Because what does it matter what you look like if you're a spirit being? You're formless. You're shapeless. Why? Because you're a spirit. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's a real good thought that'll fit right in here.
Yeah.
And
help me out here. I need some spiritual stuff.
Well, you've heard me say this before in some of the classes that we had, and so I know it'll spark a memory at this point. But here's an interesting thought, and that is, I read quite a few years ago an article that was extremely interesting. It was an article put out by scientists that had discovered some things concerning the human brain. And they found a particular area of the human brain that is used as a file cabinet. I thought that was pretty interesting. And they said how this particular area of the human brain works is, according to the affections of your heart, this particular area of your brain files information accordingly. So things that are not very affectionate to your heart or don't mean much to you, those things get filed more towards the back of the file cabinet. Those things, on the other hand, that are extremely important to you get filed right up in the front. And here's the interesting part to it, and this is how it works. Those things that are so greatly important to you, even subconsciously, your life, your spirit, your soul will reach out and endeavor to create those things. And so this is a real good example. Let's just say you haven't had a new car in a while, and your existing car is in its last leg. Maybe you're like me. I like to have a warranty on a car, and it's time just to trade one in. Whatever it may be, that doesn't matter. But here's the point. You haven't been thinking about a car at all, which is good. You don't need to be thinking about them. They're of this world. But here's my point. The moment you go to the showroom and you see the car that you want, it's got the right color, you know it's in your budget, and you put your heart on it. You set your heart on it. You think, that's the one I want. That's awesome. That's a great car. I'm going to come back tomorrow and go through the financing. On your way home, you're going the same way you've always gone before, and the 15-minute ride home, the interesting thing that happens is, because you have a new affection, you see those cars everywhere. I mean, for the last 3 or 4 years, you haven't seen that car, and if you have, you didn't even recognize it. Now, because there's a new affection in your life, and your file cabinet, the way that your brain is used, it'll file that right up front. All of a sudden, you see those cars everywhere, and you think, oh my gosh, there's a green one. There's a blue one. Oh, there's the color that I like. There's a white one. It's perfect. That's the car. That's my car. And you end up thinking, oh my goodness, everybody has them. Well, how come you didn't notice it before? It's the way that we were meant to function. So here's an interesting thought, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, you're not limited by us, but you're limited by your own affections. And if Jesus to us is somewhere down on the totem pole of the least affectionate person that we have in our life, well, no wonder why your spirit seems to never pick up on the things that are necessary to increase and enhance your relationship with God. And that goes back to the interesting days when somebody was first born again. They were so excited about the Lord. Well, interesting enough, in your excitement, you began to remember and you began to see things about the Lord everywhere. That's because you were made to have an affection, or you were made to have intent in your heart. And when a person loses that by being click, click, click away from their spirit, you'll begin to dumb yourself down until you lose that affection for Christ and other things take its place. And that's the moment that we begin to spiritually have gravity. We begin to plummet.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, that's great. You know, I'd like to add to that what people seem to think is that they don't understand the power of God. The power of God is not creating mountains and beautiful scenery and parting the Red Sea and curing cancer. That's not the real power of God. The real true power of God is that He loves us so much, and that the absoluteness of God, that He literally will stand back and allow us to self-destruct. He loves us so much. See, people don't understand that there is no limits and there's no boundaries, because, well, you know, microwave popcorn only takes 3 minutes. There's a speed limit on cars, and if you weigh too much, they don't make clothes that fit, and you can only live so long, and you buy everything in volume, and there's a beginning and an end to everything. What they don't understand is there is no end to Christ. There is no limits, there's no boundaries, and it's hard for them to comprehend, because it's that absoluteness of the limitless, the absoluteness of no boundaries of God, that allows people to be so terrible to themselves and others. Because in a blink of an eye, all sins are forgiven. That's what that means. Yeah. It means that go ahead, please.
I was going to say, at the same time, BJ, and I'll let you just interject the thought because I like where you're going with it. At the same time, it becomes the absoluteness of God for people with spiritual responsibility, like you just mentioned. It can become the thing that you don't want to accept that'll take you clicks away from God. At the same time, this absoluteness and boundless limitlessness of God is the reason why a person can have such strong resolve and understand and know God has answered your prayer. It works on both ends.
Yeah, people think it's really complicated. It's not. I figured it out very quickly. No. People say, why have you, in such a short time, 213 days and 3 hours and 26 minutes? or 2 hours. No, excuse me, 2 hours and 26 minutes. I'm sorry, 2 hours and 26 minutes. But they, and I says, well, you have to understand, I spent my whole life with horses. I've seen the abuse that people put upon horses. And so it put me off of people, and I'd spend all my time alone with animals on the ranch. And I realized that there was more about nature in this world than there was participating with other people. Well, what did I really say? I just said that I learned that there was more about God and Jesus in the world than there was about man's ability to build buildings, towns, and have traffic, restaurants, and entertainment.
Right.
That
right. And to the listener, they'd look at you and say, well, I don't
you're
get
nuts.
That because what's wrong with towns and traffic and what's wrong with streets and cars? But then it goes right back to the principle that God made us as spiritual beings, and he put physical clothing on us, and our spirits were meant to have fellowship with God on a regular 24/7 basis. And the fact that things are so drastically distorted in the day that we live is one of the main reasons why we're having this conversation. And I wanted to throw this out too, BJ. When the time is right, I have an amazing scriptural passage that really does define the whole spiritual gravity and responsibility.
Do it now. Do it now, right now, during the show, so everybody can appreciate it. Do it. Seriously,
okay,
go
well,
for it.
Okay, over in Luke in chapter 15, I am. This is going to be fun. But Luke chapter 15 is a great story, and Jesus tells a story here of a man who had two sons, and it says the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. This is over in the 13th verse of Luke 15. And, excuse me. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So here already, and I'm going to get to the rest of the story, but here already you can see the amazing power of God's love to allow this son to actually make decisions. And this is the strength of God's character and his absoluteness that on one hand is so strong for us to receive such great blessing, but on the other hand, the decisions that we make do count in our life. So here it goes on to say, verse 16, and when he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, I love that because that's the grace of God. When you begin to understand and see where you're at, how you're living, the decisions you're making, just as quickly as you're making negative decisions, that you're living in a world where if it's negative because there's something positive that you can make. And the positive decision, turning your face toward God, acknowledging his grace, is immediately where all sins forgiven puts you right back on track for the power of God to move in your life. So it says here, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. BJ, I think that part is so awesome because notice what it shows us. It shows us that the father saw him a long distance away. Why? Because the father was looking for him a long distance away. God's love is so amazing that even if somebody decides to step away from what is so amazing in God, God's longing to see you come back on track means he's looking for you day in, day out, every second, for you to make a decision that'll put your heart back into the grace of God where you can experience his love and experience change in your life. And this is what he saw here. And the father, it says, he arose and came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice who did the running. It was God. It was the father. And this is the most awesome thing about our Heavenly Father. I want everybody that's listening tonight to realize the importance of this story. You're hearing us talk about the absoluteness of God. You're seeing how important it is that we make quality decisions. And folks, we are not trying to tell you, be consumed with trying to do right. Be consumed with the finished work of Jesus Christ, His grace and His mercy in your life. But be also, at the same time, aware of the entanglements of this world which will hinder your spirit's ability to express itself in God. And right now, let me finish this story here. The Father saw him, ran, had compassion, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And folks, I want to share this with you. While the son had his huge, I'm sorry, please forgive me speech ready, isn't it interesting that right in the middle of it, the father just interrupted and said, this is my son that was lost. He's now been found. Servants, go get the fatted calf. Go bring out, get the party ready. We're gonna rejoice because my son who was lost is now found. I'm telling you, that's how awesome God's love is. That's how absolute he is. That the moment you even turn toward him, he's looking, he's expecting it, he'll run toward you, he'll embrace you, he'll kiss you, and right in the middle of your big speech, he's already pouring his blessings out on you, and the grace of God is already restoring and establishing something amazing in your life. BJ, what do you think of that story and how it fits?
Oh, I think it fits great. I think that it's funny, people say, well, how do you know he's so absolute? I'll say, I'll tell you why. Many places in the Bible, many books, many chapters, many verses, it's all over. And it says, if you don't know me, I can't know you. If you don't hear me, I can't listen to you. If you don't know me, I don't know you. If you don't hear me, I can't hear you. What about that says maybe? Maybe, coulda, woulda, shoulda, might be all right, might work. That's extremely absolute. There is nothing good of this world. That doesn't mean some things are good, some things are bad. It means there is nothing good of this world. Once again, absoluteness. All sins are forgiven. Absoluteness. I don't get it why people try to put a compromise, some kind of an excuse. Because if you want spiritual responsibility, if you want to understand spiritual gravity, there it is. Because everything about it is absolute. He loves you. There's no limit, no boundaries of your love and God's grace. The Holy Spirit will do anything for you. You just have to ask. Ask and it will be given to you. There's no maybes there. What is it? It's absolute. But yet...
Yeah, I want to make a comment about something you just said about there's nothing good of this world so that people understand. God didn't create the world bad.
No.
He created the world perfect. He created it good.
Man made simple choices. Clicks away, clicks away, clicks away.
We're showing that there's nothing of this world that has been distorted by man's decision that is good.
Well, yeah, we talk.
And as a result of that, we're filled with all kinds of things and ideas, surrounded by so many inventions and stuff that has great potential every day, and it does it. It entraps people, and it takes them clicks away from God. Well, and unless people understand it and see the importance and the value of God's love, the way that God gave it to us, that's where the real folly comes in, that we can be involved in things that we think are great.
Well, you know, it's
and
really...
And yet they've done nothing but hinder our ability to fellowship with God.
What's really sad is that people say, you know, oh, it's God at work. We're going to find a cure for cancer. It's God at work. We're going to find a cure for AIDS. It's God at work. They're going to do stem cell research, and people will be walking and talking and out of their wheelchairs with God's grace. None of that is Christ-like. Because you know why? Because if you believe in God, if you know your prayers will be answered, if you have a relationship, if you understand what spiritual responsibility is, You don't need doctors. You don't need prescriptions. Yep. You don't need a wheelchair. So the fact that you're saying that, you know, they're just a few years away, if we just give more money, they'll do more research on cancer and cancer will be cured, and God wants cancer to be cured. God doesn't want cancer to be cured. There's nothing to cure if you're thinking of the spirit. The only thing that has cancer is the body, which is the flesh.
Right.
And there's nothing good of the flesh. Why? Because it's absolute. Well, if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for you, if your prayers aren't being answered, don't be mad at God. Don't be mad at Christianity. Be frustrated with why you don't get it and it's not working, because it works for everybody and everybody is equal and all sins are forgiven. So if your prayers aren't working, look in the mirror when you brush your teeth in the morning. That's where the problem lays.
Yeah, well, let me interject some thoughts here so we can continue to see some of these perspectives that are so good. And, you know, when BJ is making those comments, he's talking about the absoluteness of God, folks. And this is the reason why it's so important that we see that God's absoluteness has made provision. Think about it. What Jesus did in taking our infirmity and bearing our sickness was so that we could live with such knowledge and I know this word, you're hearing it a lot, but absoluteness of our healing and our health and our deliverance. It's of the Spirit. And if someone's struggling tonight and saying, well, my prayers never get answered, the reason why we're drawing your attention to your spirit and to the absoluteness of God's love, which is spirit or of the spirit, is so that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The same way Jesus in spirit jumped into his body that just a few days ago had been completely crucified and mutilated. And when Jesus, perfect in spirit, came back into his body, he completely immortalized that body. That's the strength of the human spirit. That's why we're putting our focus on what Christ has done for you and getting your focus off of the physical body or this physical world that has been distorted. I think that'll bring some clarity, too, to the things that you said so well.
Yeah, we need to take a break real quick, Jim. We need to talk about the website, addresses, things like that. Folks, this is the Abiding Presence Internet radio show. If you can go to the website and you can check out the theories page for your consideration. You can also contact the show with an email. You can either email the show, just tell us that you're listening. You can tell us that you like the show. You can tell us that the show needs some changes. That's just contact the show. And make sure when you send us an email that you do take the time to make sure that you say it's okay to read my testimony, my email on the air, or please don't read it on the air, or you can read it on the air, just don't use my email. Make sure you put that at the beginning of your email. Also, we have regular United States postal mail, where you can send us a letter, and the show replays itself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for free. And so make sure that you take this opportunity to enjoy the show, spread the word, and hope you're enjoying it. And like I said, if you have any questions, you can email us right now. We do the show live every Sunday night from 8 until 9 o'clock from the central part of the United States of America. I want to say a special hello to Faith Life Church, Pastor Joel and Evie Toller. They're in Manchester, England. And hello to them from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, Jim, let's get back to work. One of the things that I want to talk about is the click theory, because we talk about clicks all the time. I mean, we talk about clicks as much as we talk about the Ranger theory. And I really think I need to write a for your consideration paper called God Likes Math, because those are the three things that we really talk about a lot. Let's talk about the click theory. It's on our website, ladies and gentlemen. It isn't necessary for you to rush right over to the website and look up the click theory. It's there, just like everything else. You can look at it at your leisure, but it'll help. But the click theory really does pan out to be extremely effective and true, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. And I think the thing about the click theory that people are trust that they're getting it, there's a scripture that's really cool that over in Song of Solomon. You don't hear many Song of Solomon scriptures being used.
No, I don't think I've ever heard one
chapter,
before.
Okay. Well, you're going to hear one. In the second chapter and the 15th verse, notice what it says. It says, "Catch us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." That may sound like it's not much of a scripture, but it really is, because it says the little foxes spoil the vine. So we could almost say, and it goes right along with the clique theory, that it's the little things of life that make such a huge difference in a person's life. And if the little foxes can spoil the vine, then your small day by day, day in, day out acknowledgments of God's grace can repair it and restore the vine.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people, I says, my grandmother and my grandfather taught me horses, taught me ranch work, farm work, you know, everything that, well, I always say all the time, if there's anything good about me or in me or produced by me, it goes directly to my grandfather and my grandmother, no question about it. But one of the things my grandmother, she used to say all the time is that she'd say, you know, when you think of something, you always tend to end up doing it. So where your mind goes, unfortunately, your heart has a tendency to follow. And you'll hear people time talk about how they're saying, well, my head says do one thing, but my heart tells me to do something else, and I'm conflicted.
Right.
Well, what they really need to do is they need to disregard their mind and go with their heart, because the heart is directly connected to the soul, otherwise known as the spirit. And so when people think with their minds, they're actually thinking of the world. But when they think with their heart, they're speaking with their spirit, because they'll say, you know, my heart tells me I should reach out to this person and I should help them. But my head tells me that this person is a jerk. They've screwed me over before. They're probably going to screw me over again. And so I'm going to use my common sense, and I'm going to use my head. And my head is going to say, just ignore them and let them do what they're going to do, because it's not going to affect me. What about that is God? What about that is Christianity? But
I think you'll like these scriptures here.
But if you put that,
if
you put that aside and you say, you know, my heart says I should help them. Well, basically what you just said is my spirit is working. My spirit is going to try to fix something that is amiss. Okay, now back that up with scripture, please.
Well, Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul said, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." But then verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." And it goes on to say some other wonderful things. But there you go, right there. There's your distinction.
And you know what
Paul made reference to, and it's as clear as can be.
Yeah, and you know why it's clear? And he says everything of the world is bad, everything of the Spirit is good, and that the Spirit doesn't multitask, and it's one or the other. Because you know what else Paul just was? He was extremely absolute.
Yeah, if anybody could speak like that, Paul could, because his background was, he called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a very intelligent man. He was a very studied man, and he was tops in his class as a lawman, going over the law, doing everything right, being so perfect about everything.
That's absolute.
And what Paul's trying to... Well, yes, it is absolute, but Paul said the things that he had studied all his life, he said he'd rather see those things on a dung heap when he experienced the grace of God and God's eternal love. Immediately it changed him, and he realized all his efforts to try to do something in his flesh were worthless compared to the effort of Christ to do something in Paul's spirit.
Yeah, this is good. This is really good. You know, and this goes right back to what we're talking about, the clique theory. You know, I talk about it all the time, how just one, it's not are you a minute late Are you an hour late? Are you a day late? No, it's about being a second. And I correlate a compass in there. And people, when they read the click theory, they'll understand that it's the little distractions. Don't worry about floods. Don't worry about terrorist attacks. Don't worry about car crashes. Worry about how do you treat yourself and how do you treat your fellow man? How do you treat the pets and animals in your life? How do you treat your loved ones, your coworkers? What are the thoughts that you have when you see someone that needs assistance? Do you want to get involved? Do you want to help them? Or do you want to stay out of the way and just watch the mayhem and be mildly entertained by someone else's misfortune? Because it's those little choices that occupy our mind and distract our heart and our soul from being with God. Because when you're with God,
right,
those things don't occur. They don't mean anything to you because they're valueless. You've made them completely intangible. They mean nothing to you. Because I tell people all the time, I says, well, you know, there's over a billion people in China. And what do you think? And they says, China? It's on the other side of the world. What do I care about China? What do I care about a billion Chinese? They don't have my problems. They don't know what it's like to be me. And so basically they've just said, what do I care about China? I'm never going to go there. It's so far away. Why do I care about it? Well, guess what? Why don't people say that about this world and be in the spirit world? I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit being. We are made in his image to do greater works than him. Well, what about that is worldly? What about that even sounds like anything on a day-to-day basis that you would get into? Nothing. Zero.
Right. Well, if we're going to talk about the clicks, which we are, then I also want to make sure people realize that while we're protecting your heart and showing you how that the world can entangle you, in fact, Paul made reference there in Hebrews in chapter 12, and verse 1, he said, lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily entangles you. So there's an entanglement in the world. And while we're sharing that with you, I want to share with you the real purpose of what's happening here. It's not to make you sin conscious. On the other hand, what it does is, by acknowledging the entanglements of the world, now you have the ability to give greater value to giving God praise and living in a state of worshiping God for his grace, keeping your mind mindful about the Spirit, keeping your heart engaged with God and the things of God that will enhance your relationship with God. And this is why we're sharing these things about the click theory, because it's a protection. Solomon made reference to it over in the 23rd verse of Proverbs 4, where he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. He said, don't look to the left or don't look to the right. Well, what's he trying to say? He's saying, be careful, because there's a snare. There's entanglements out there. So if you'll know that they're there, then making decisions to guard your heart so that you stay spiritually minded has so much more value than if you just try to know something in one level only.
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, it goes to the simple things, and it goes to the click theory, that it's the little distractions that take you away. Because if your compass is broke and you think that you're walking due north, but the compass doesn't point north, only you think it does, well, within a matter of miles, you are so far off that if you continue to use that broke compass, before you know it, you're not walking north at all. You've made a 180-degree turn. You're now actually walking south, and you're just aimless, and you have no clue that you're going in the wrong direction. That understanding sin doesn't mean that you worry about it. It just means that if you're aware of sin, then you should be aware of what? God's love, God's grace. The ability for prayers to work, because you can't enjoy the warmth of a fire on a cold evening unless you've truly been outside to be chilled to the bone, because then that fire feels even more comfortable and more welcoming. Well, if you recognize sin, if you understand what sin is, if you understand what it means to be a click away, if you understand what it means to be distracted by the little things, and by the by, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the devil, Satan, negative energy has been defeated, which means he can't, he has no power, which means all he can do is make little suggestions and help put a little ill wind in sails that you have prompted up into a bad wind anyways. He's just more of a negative energy cheerleader than he can manifest any bad things in you. That means it's you, your responsibility, responsibility, back to spiritual responsibility, spiritual gravity. Yes, this means then that, Jim, help me here, that means then that it's the little things where the battle is between good and evil, not the big things. It's the little things.
It totally is, and it sounds just like the next verse right in line. You just kind of preached this verse, BJ.
No, I don't. I can't preach. I'm not qualified. Yeah, I talked.
Well, you talked this verse.
There you go.
What the verse says is, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So he goes on to say in verse 12, therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he goes to say in verse 14, for as many of us as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So Paul's trying to help these people in the Roman Jews, he's trying to help them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to understand and experience the love of God. And by doing so, he not only reveals the entanglements that they're walking in, he reveals the love of God that comes from your spirit. And folks, that's what we've been doing tonight. And I really believe if you'll think about it, and if you need to listen to it again, please do so, because it loops on the hour, every hour, 24/7 for this next week.
You've never said that before.
What?
You've never said the show loops
24. You thought I was doing a commercial, didn't you?
I did. I thought, oh my gosh, the guy's actually learning how to talk on the radio.
Yeah, I'm doing a commercial. Well, folks, listen, nonetheless, it's so, if you need to listen to it again, listen to it again, because exactly what we're talking about here is the reason why your relationship with God can become so fruitful, and it can be within just, I mean, literally within days, you'll find yourself, the things that you used to be entangled with, you'll find yourself so far removed from those things, and you will not even have tried to do it. It'll just become a part of your new affection and your new desire in life to walk in the love of Jesus Christ. This has really been good tonight, BJ. I think we're really hitting a home run here.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know what your clock says, but I've got about 4 or 5 minutes left of the show, okay, just to let you know. And okay. And if people are wondering why I need to say that to Jim, if you've just chimed in after the show started, he this week, or well, at least for another day or so, he's at the Faith Life Church where Pastor Joel and Evie Toller call home in Manchester, England. Where do you go from there, by the way? Let's get that out. So say hello to people where you're going.
Well, on Friday, I'm heading to Milan, Italy. And Pastor Angelo and Chiara are in Milan. And it's just an awesome church. And the Italian people are wonderful folks with great hearts. And so I'm expecting to have a really great time there, too.
And also, November 3rd, you got a big healing meeting coming up. Where is that?
That'll be in Bixby, Oklahoma. And if you'll go to our website at www.jimhockaday.com or theabidingpresence.com, you'll be able to listen to the show. But if you'll go to my other website, jimhockaday.com, you'll be able to look at the itinerary and find all the directions or a phone number if you need to. So it's going to be a great week coming up, and we've still got some business to do here on the other side of the pond, BJ.
Yeah, you're doing good, and I guess you're being well received from what you said, and things are going well. And you know, one thing I want to talk about, since we're down to about 2 or 3 minutes, is that it talks about words, and I think we're at the point now where maybe in the next couple of shows, we need to talk about words. Because okay. people put way too much weight on words, don't they?
Well, they do. In fact, just recently in one of our prayer meetings this past week there in Bixby, it was very unusual how the evening came together, but it was really, really good, and it was all about this topic of words and showing people the real importance of your heart, or we could say the intent of one's heart. And God gave me a way of explaining that, which was really, really good.
And, well, I mean, a perfect example of words and what they mean is it's real easy for someone to say, you know, I really like you, and I care a lot about you. That sounds affectionate. It sounds genuine. Or you can say, I like you, and I really care a lot about you. Well, that sounds sarcastic and disingenuous. So where do you put the weight? Do you put the weight on the words, or do you put the weight on the thoughts and the feelings behind those words? It goes directly, Correct. Folks, to your spiritual responsibility, spiritual gravity, because it's about thoughts and feelings and emotions. It isn't about the utterances out of your mouth, because words are of this world, not of the spirit world. Yes, we're down to about a minute, Jim, so why don't you give us a farewell prayer?
Okay, sounds really good. Well, for those of you that are needing healing, I'm just going to ask you right now, and definitely write us with testimonies of what God has done while we pray. But put your hand on the part of your body where you're having a difficulty, and let that just be to you a point of contact while I pray and God touches you. Father, I just give you thanks and praise right now that even the distance that we have from Oklahoma, where BJ is, and Manchester, England, where I am, there's no distance with you. You'll never leave us, and you'll never forsake us. And so wherever these people are that are listening, now, first of all, I thank you so much for them, and I know they're being blessed. But right now, in their physical body, I just speak healing power and release the glory of God by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And by the work of the Holy Ghost, I know that people are being healed in their body. Their organs are being made whole. Their bones and their muscles are being made whole. Even someone's blood is being healed tonight in Jesus' name. I just know without a shadow of a doubt that there are testimonies that are happening all over the world because of our moment right now to take and acknowledge the grace of Jesus Christ through the finished work of the Lord. So in the wonderful name of Jesus, we declare people to be touched and their bodies to be whole and the work to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was great. Well, it's time for you to go back to sleep, isn't it?
It is, and I'm kind of wound up, so I don't know if I'm going to go just yet.
But no, you'll probably have to have a snack. You'll have to. Do they have room service at 3 a.m. on Thursday morning there in Manchester?
No, but I have a good little goodie basket, so I might get into it right before.
I think
go
you should. I don't know if you can hear the closing music, Jim, but it was a great show. You'll have to stop by the ranch when you get back in town. Have fun in Italy. Say hello to everybody at Faith Life Church, Pastor Joel and Evie Toller in Manchester, England. I thought it went well, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It's going to be a good week here. Next week's going to be great, too.
All right. We'll be talking about words. We'll have some more for your considerations and theories on the home website of the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. You can email us. Folks, have a good week. Enjoy the show. Spread the word to your friends and family about this show. And what we're trying to do is just help you out, have a better spiritual relationship with God. For Jim Huckaday, my name is BJ. Take care. Jim, have a good night. We're going to shut this thing down and go home.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Take care.